Absolutely.
Everybody has problems. Well, we got a lot to cover here today, and we got a lot of guests, and we've invited a guest back to be with us, Al, because on the morning show the other day, we had Don Meehan on with us, who's the author of Okay, God, Now What? And we just didn't have time to get into everything that we needed to. So, Don, thank you very much for taking come back and be with us. I'm Joel Williams, and we talked last week, and Al Ganey's here with us on our long form as our long form co-host on Tuesdays.
Okay, great. Good morning, Joel and Al. Glad to be with you again.
We kind of brought you on to talk about political slogans last week, and we kind of covered that, so we're going to move on to some other things, and your book goes into a lot of different venues. I mean, it really does, and we got a copy of the book here, and thanks for sending that in. Where do you want to begin today? Because where we left off were the political slogans and how slogans are given to us, but, you know, slogans are used every day for us in a lot of different things. Even in our faith, slogans are used.
Yes, all the time. We live by slogans. It's the way human beings process. The way that the human mind works is, and this is sort of the foundation for everything, is that you all day long you do what we call self-talk or the voice of the conscious. No matter what's going on around you, your subconscious mind is looking and assessing at what's happening and then providing for you from your past whatever the kinds of attitudes and actions that fit based on the current things of happening now. And the power of that is that it's what's from the past. It's not what's happening right now. It turns out that science has discovered that even under the most intense conditions, which, believe it or not, is shopping in a mall where you're looking around and seeing all kinds of things, or a soldier in combat or in some sort of crisis moment, that you're operating by 85% of your subconscious mind and only 15% by your conscious mind. On the normal day, you're operating 95% by your subconscious, and you're operating 5% by your by your conscious mind, 5%, and the subconscious by 95%.
You know, Don, this is Al Ganey. Thank you for being with us this morning as well. And you talk about the subconscious mind. Is there any scientific evidence to really support this, or where does it come from? Where do we get that information to really know that, and how is it truly affecting us as we go through our daily life?
Okay, well, first of all, there's a lot of, this is the great big, you've heard the term neuroscience and neurology. That's the science of the subconscious mind for the most part. It's how the brain operates. It includes both the conscious aware mind and the subconscious mind. The biggest discoveries have come more recently because they're able to actually take instrumentation and watch how the brain processes information, what it does. The mankind has known for, you know, ever since from the beginning that it's almost like there's two people inside of you. You're thinking about things, and then you react, and you do things that are different than how you're thinking. That's the subconscious mind taking control. It operates by habit, not by conscious thought.
You know, I'm a small business owner, and the last 3 or 4 years have been very difficult in business for a lot of us as small business people. And you've had some major business turnarounds. Tell us about that and how maybe we can give us a few hints as to how to do that.
Okay. What all started for me, and that's really how I ended up writing the book, was I was going along very great. Everything was fine. I went into work one day in my office in Florida. My boss called me in, and he gave me what I learned to call the assignment from hell. I went in happy and came out numb.
Yeah.
Immediately afterwards, another VP met me in the hall, and they'd already been talking about it, obviously. And he said, this is what he said to me, better than you have tried to turn that plant around, and they failed. So long, it's been nice knowing you.
Wow.
Okay, so that was a good send-off.
Yeah, that, you're right, exactly.
Okay, so when you talk about business problems and troubles and issues, it doesn't matter what size it's in. If it's you, you're living it, right? So not only was the job impossible, there went my family life. We lived in Florida, and I was now going to be halfway across the country in St. Louis. I was going to be on the road all the time. But, yeah, you know, this sounded like a promotion. I was finally like the president of my own division. I was given complete higher and far authority. But that didn't do me very much good. This was a technical problem, and the only scientists and engineers on the planet who knew anything about it were the same ones locked into, now listen to these words, fear, denial, and fault-finding. The only way out was for them to, number one, get out of fear, number two, face the facts, and number three, move into creativity and own the problem to fix it. And no matter what I did, I could not throw them into any more limiting fear. They were stuck now, and I couldn't do anything else to put them more stuck. Not only that, but a whole town depended on us solving this problem. If I failed, it meant economic ruin for thousands of people. The situation had helplessness, fear, and disaster written all over it. The first key for me was to keep myself from falling into mind-numbing and limiting fear and anger. The second was not to drive others into a similar mind-numbing fear and anger. Instead, somehow I had to give them the hope to succeed. And both required that I had to ditch any anger I had toward God and instead believe him for his help and his truth. And just like with a radar beam, with my eyes scanning the horizon for where the help was going to come from, we moved forward. And you know what? We did it. In 6 years, we went from losing money to $500 million. It was 15 years later I understood the science, which was part of that science of the conscious and subconscious mind, that explained what I had done for myself and the people in the plant. What I ended up doing was I took the program that I developed way back then, refined it, focused it, and that became the creation of the book, Okay, God, Now What? And the same principles apply for anyone to get any good from God so anyone can have the best life possible, which is what we're all about.
Don Mean is our guest. That's the name of the book, and we'll tell you in a moment where you can get the book. But, Don, we don't want people to think, well, this is the latest self-help gimmick. This is tried and true from the beginning of time up to when the end of time comes. I mean, you're talking about God's plan for everybody to be able to unlock some great things. I mean, in the book, you talk about the spirituality of affirmation, and you talk about how, just as doctors will tell you, the happier you are, the more positive you are, you release endorphins in your body, and you're a healthier person in mind and body as well.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, you know, the Bible somewhere, something like 1,500 times, tells us to rejoice in the Lord, give thanks, and fear not. And never once does it say to feel like it first. What it does say is, occasionally it does say, remember what's happened of God in your life before. What's your testimony? And if you don't have a testimony, you can always crack open the book of the Bible and find a testimony in there that fits your situation. And so you can start praising and thanking God for what he's done, and you do it not because you feel like it, but because you know that that's the way the subconscious mind operates. As you train yourself in the subconscious to do that, after a while, it'll become an automatic response to the troubles of life. Instead of going, oh, no, you're going to go, let's go.
And you know, Don, you bring up an excellent point there, or some many excellent points for that matter, but in the book you talk about having the right attitude going into something, or at least developing the right habits and getting away from the negative habits that are out there and that are pervasive in a lot of cases in my own mind. So how do you reverse that? How do you change those things to be sure you have the right attitude going into something?
Okay, I guess this is going to sound very different and strange from what a lot of people have been taught. Remember when Adam was in the garden, when God first made him, and what he told Adam to do? He told him, subdue the earth and establish dominion. Now, there's nothing pleasant about either one of those words. Those are war-fighting words. God made Adam to come in and change the earth and make heaven on earth. So the secret to a right attitude is a right identity. And so when your attitude goes from, I don't like troubles, I don't want troubles, I can't handle troubles, to, wait a minute, I am made by the grace of God to solve this and make it a better place. You know what my own personal attitude was prior to getting this assignment from hell? Was, I thrive in love, chaos, confusion, and hostility, and today is a great day.
Yeah, super.
Okay, so with that kind of attitude, that was based on my identity. And what happened to me was my identity started to change. And it started to match up with what I'd learned in the Bible as the truth about what we're here for. So when you understand you're here to make the world a better place, and problems are your meat, and problems are what God has let you get into so you can fix it. Look at Joseph in the Bible, who was told he was going to have his parents, his brothers, bow down before him, and then he literally went through hell. Okay, and then, but he kept on to God, he kept a moral attitude, a right attitude, and one day, guess what he did? He was the savior of his people.
That's a very good point, and you can look at those testimonies and or stories in the Bible and see that they're all made through hardships. There aren't any easy life stories in there at all.
If it's easy, it almost makes you wonder. You know, I've heard a lot of times people said, well, if Jesus comes in, it's going to get easier. But you know, if you look at what happened with Jesus, they tried to throw him off the cliff. They tried to stone him multiple times. And worst of all, the guys that hung around him, the 12 apostles, on his last day, they all ran from him.
Yeah.
Jesus went through the cross with no friends, no help, and apparently no future.
So why should we expect any better? So we just have to get a different perspective.
You have to get a different perspective. It's all about your self-identity, your mind. And that's what I tried to put in Okay, God, Now What? As I discovered that. And actually what I've made available for people, if they contact me on my website called Okay, God, Now What? that can get a list of top 10 affirmations for free. Just ask for it. We'll send it to you to get you started on how to build right attitudes that make you successful in anything.
And, Donald, you just given the website so people can go and get that right now. Okay, God, now what? And this will help us on these days where sometimes, you know, Al comes in and he's going, oh, woe is me, and the next thing I'm down, or I've gotten him down. Now we can go, this is part of the process. It's going to be okay. And we're going to look for those, scan the horizon, like you said, and look for the opportunities coming. Hey, thank you very much for coming back on and being with us, and thank you for the copies of the book. We appreciate the autograph, and thanks for writing the book.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed it, and God bless you all. Have a great day.
You too. We have
Thank you, Don.
There is a man who knows what he's talking about and is talking about what he knows.